For today's In Touch with Southeast Iowa, we continue our conversation with Chad Dolan, Iowa Department of Natural Resources fisheries biologist stationed at Lake Darling. Yesterday, we discussed what fishing will be like now that the restoration is complete. Today, we'll focus on what fishing was like prior to the restoration. Before the restoration began, were fishermen out there on Lake Darling?
Were there fishermen? Yeah, there were, but, you know, I would categorize the fishery as really being a cat fishery, you know, before the restoration really got underway, at least heavily. And that's because you think about what kind of state the lake was in. It was turbid and it was dirty, and a lot of your fish are sight feeders. They rely on that sense of sight in order to locate and capture prey. Well, in dirty water, things like bluegills, largemouth bass, and crappies, they can't see very well. And if they can't see, they can't capture prey, and if they can't eat and digest that prey, they don't grow very well. And so those sunfish, those fishes that fall within that sunfish family, which include the ones I mentioned, just weren't growing very well. Catfish, on the other hand, although they can see pretty well in clear water, dirty water, they can really rely on their sense of smell. They have a very acute sense of smell, and they're able to locate prey even when they can't see very well. And so those fish tend to do pretty good in terms of locating a resource in order to feed on. The only thing that I did notice through fishery surveys is that the majority of the catfish community in here during that time period is probably 10, 11 inches in size. And, you know, that may be attributed to over the previous years. Typically, once we do an initial catfish docking, every 2 years we'll come back and we'll maintenance dock channel catfish to kind of replace the losses to harvest, as well as just natural mortality. Well, in a turbid system, when things like largemouth bass can't see prey, which would include things like channel catfish, most of those stockings were surviving from every couple years. I mean, they were, more and more were being added to the population. You have more and more catfish that are surviving and being added to the population. And of course, feeding on the same resource, eventually food becomes limited, and those fish ceased to grow quite as fast as they were growing. Had there been predation by largemouth bass to trim down that catfish population to a point where there was enough food resources for an individual to grow very well. And so, you know, we're actually seeing kind of a stunting in the catfish population. So if you look at the fishery as a whole pre-restoration, it wasn't in good shape. A lot of the fish were either short or skinny. You know, there was definitely fish to be caught out there, but at the same time, they weren't really desirable to most folks in terms of taking home for table fare. We did have flathead catfish in the lake as well during that time, and that's one of those that did pretty exceptionally well, rather, in the sense that, again, they were using their sense of smell and they could locate their food. They weren't quite as numerous as channel catfish in that lake. Flatheads grow to much larger sizes, and so there was some opportunity. Flathead catfish are mainly a piscivore, which means fish eating, and so they were feeding on all those little fish, you know, that couldn't grow very well, and they were able to do well themselves. Of course, they weren't that numerous, though, but if you found one and hooked into it, you know, it wouldn't be uncommon for somebody to catch a 25-pound flathead catfish out there. And so that was one opportunity people had, but I wouldn't say that that's really what the majority of anglers wanted. Bottom line is people want to be able to catch bluegill, and they want to be able to catch a lot of them, preferably. Some people really like to catch the big ones, and to other people it's just about catching fish, period. But for people that are taking those fish home to use as food, you want something that's got a little meat on it, and usually that's fish that are 8 and 9 inches in length. You compare a Lake Darling to, you know, say a Big Hollow Lake or Lake Belvedere, both lakes in the area with much better, cleaner water quality, better water clarity. You're getting better growth in your sunfishes, and you've got bluegill that are reaching 8 inches consistently, a lot of 9 inches, and there's possibility even catching 10-inch bluegills in those lakes. And you've got crappies that are making 11 inches, and some of them or even making the 12-inch size group. And so that's something Lake Darling was lacking. That's quite common in our other southeast Iowa lakes, especially here in the Lake Darling Management District. And that's what we hope to see to some degree here at Lake Darling. I think we've got to have realistic expectations, though. Lake Darling is a little bit different, and that's it's a relatively shallow lake. You know, the maximum depth in it's only about 21 feet, which means that, you know, our average depth lake-wide is not that deep compared to lakes like Belvedere or Lake Geo, much deeper lakes, talking about average lake-wide. And it's totally clay bottom, and we've got much improved water quality as a result of this restoration, whereas in the past you could see down about 13 inches. Now you might see down 5 or 6 feet. That's quite a difference. But then you look at something like Lake Belvedere during its best conditions, you might see down 14 feet, 15 feet in that sort of lake. And Lake Darling's probably never going to be a lake where you see down that deep. It's just different. You know, its characteristics are different. But that aside, it's greatly improved. I mean, it's tremendous. Most people that saw Lake Darling in the last 20-plus years aren't going to recognize it. It's a much cleaner lake. Amenities basically all been replaced here. The fishing opportunity will be better than it has been in many, many, many years here, and it's just going to be a great place for people to recreate for years to come.
Chad, thank you for all your time.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
That was my conversation with Iowa DNR fisheries biologist Chad Dolan for this edition of In Touch with Southeast Iowa. For KCII News, I'm Nathan Swenson.